Welcome to Drop of Inspiration. I'm your host, Deidreen Joyce. On today's episode, I'd like to bring you a conversation with one of our Crown Diamond leaders, Kai Tan. Kai Tan hails from Singapore and is an integrative wellness coach, which means that holistic living and wellness are at the heart of everything she does. I really enjoyed getting to know Kai in the short time that we had, and I hope that you enjoy our conversation. So without further ado, here's Kai and I.
So tell us a little about yourself, where you grew up, maybe the things that you were interested in and that you valued growing up that kind of led you toward what you're doing now.
Okay. So I come from Singapore, born, bred in Singapore, and has never been living in any other place. Chinese family, so very typical upbringing, where my parents would just kind of like expect us to do like the regular stuff. My dad was a teacher, my mom a homemaker. So I guess for them, it's like if you get a good job and just do the regular stuff. But I think I have that little streak that my dad has, which is the playful, adventurous side, which is not my mom. So I did a whole ton of different things. So I used to run an art shop, used to fly with an airline. It's all very, very random careers. Because one of the things that I have always believed in is just kind of like creating experiences for yourself. And there's this saying that I love, which is throw your heart over the fence and everything else will follow. So I always just look out to what I enjoy doing. And before Young Living, I was actually a developmental coach. So I got into training and education with different companies, and we do a lot of trainings. And then everything started really like was with my family members. I guess everybody comes to a point in our life where we realize that your parents are growing old. Health becomes something that you need to start taking care of, not just theirs, but ours as well. So that started putting the limelight on this whole aspect of health and the physical as well as the emotional. And then I was introduced at a holistic fair where I met Frances Fuller. She's the Royal Crown Diamond right now. And it really just started there because I think I was looking for something to support my father at that point in time. So he had retired and he was diagnosed with Parkinson's. And one of the things with that is just regulating his whole mood. Just having someone in your house feel like there's dignity in aging, there is hope, and there are options. So I was really looking around because I'm the youngest one in the family. So I'm really close to dad. And it was just really painful watching the entire process for 10 years. So it pretty much got to a point where I kind of was like putting it out there that I'm just hoping something comes along that's holistic, that supports him on all the different levels, physical, emotional, mental. And then I met Frances, like I mentioned, and we started learning about the essential oils, and that's how it all got started.
So you got introduced to Young Living. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the products when you first started getting introduced to this?
So when Frances first spoke with me at the fair, I kind of thought that the oils would be like any other brands out there. So I used to use essential oils, so I thought it's the same stuff. Took a name card, went back home, did a little bit of research, and this is like in 2007, when Young Living does not have an office in Singapore and all of that. So I started just looking at the product and was just really curious because once I got started, I realized that first they had a lot of very, very interesting blends. And when I was using the oils, it just felt, if I can use the word energetically different, like there was something to it. I couldn't put my finger on it. And I just kept ordering them from US into Singapore. And it was expensive. But at some point, I was receiving newsletters from Young Living, from Francis. And I started reading about the company and I started Googling and trying to find out more about Gary. So in my mind, it was kind of baffling. Like, who is this man? Like, I hear a lot about him and I read a lot about him. But again, it's that curiosity. And so I just wanted to know what's that difference. I could feel it. I couldn't put my finger on it. I couldn't articulate it. So the next best thing that happened was I bought myself a ticket and I came to the 2010 convention as a distributor. Like, I had no enrollments. I came in like just me and myself. I thought to myself, if I wanted to find out about this company, I would come all the way here, take a holiday and just discover what this is about. And that was one of the most, how do I say this? It's that whole jumping into the process of trusting that you're here for a reason. So I remember sitting in the convention hall. Back then, it wasn't very, very huge. And Gary was talking and he was just tearing and talking about why it's so important for us to learn how to re-embrace God's gift in the plants. And it just hit me that he's right. You know, like there is something that's been given to us. Why are we looking somewhere else? Yeah. Could this be part of the solution that we all wanted, you know, for our lives? So for some reason, that conviction that Gary carries with him really comes through. Like if anybody has ever listened to him, or sat with him and he talks passionately about the oils, it's like, done deal. You're like, I was sold. I came all the way here. And I went home, not exactly thinking that I was going to build the business, but I was sold in terms of the possibility of using the essential oils in every part of my life. And in that possibility of reaching out to people, telling people about it, and telling them that there are options. Like I was telling you, one of the hardest thing for me was watching my dad as he grew old. And that's one of the things that we deal with, watching someone you care about so much, losing that sense of himself and that dignity, just getting trapped in your own body. And I really, really just wanted people to realize that perhaps there is hope somewhere else. Perhaps we can change this. And I wanted to see all that change around us. Yeah. So it really started with my dad. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you said that you, at this point in your story, mm-hmm. you weren't really thinking about this as a business. You just wanted to integrate it into your life.
So for me, it took 3 years as a user, completely did not want to think about it as a business. I would talk to people about the oils genuinely because I think it would do lots of amazing stuff for them. So I talk about it. And then, of course, people start getting enrolled, which I had no clue what that meant. And I just started having all these different people in supposedly my organization. And I realized that one of the things that I wanted to do was to be able to share with them more and more about the different ways to use the product. So I was trying to learn everything myself as I passed on the information to them. And I think it just really got to a stage where I realized I had quite a number of people. So it was very, very organic at that point in time. And I started to ask myself, if people were kind of looking to me in terms of getting information, in terms of getting education, what do I really want to do? So I started organizing my thoughts around it. So just looking at how many classes I want to do, what type of classes do I want to do with people. I still wasn't very willing to look at myself as a builder. I think it's quite an international kind of like phenomenon that people are so afraid of network marketing. And I was absolutely the same. I thought of it as a monster. I thought that if you get yourself involved in it, you will never get out of it. And it's a trap. So I was scared. And I will always tell people that I'm not doing this as a business. I'm just sharing with you. But I think the difference is I realized that there is an amazing vision that Gary had. And that vision translated to just very human values, which to me was never about just selling you an extra bottle of oil because I needed you to buy that. Everything that Gary spoke about or advocated, when somebody talks from their gut, you get it. You get it on a heart level, you get it on a gut level, and that was Gary. And it also translated down to my upline, Francis, who was totally about just how do we help people? And so that was the biggest factor for me because I never wanted to see myself as a salesperson. I wanted to make sure that whatever that I was doing was making a difference for somebody. And I just see that translate through and through. Even when I came to the corporate office in 2010, I attended a convention. It's almost unreal. Like you sit around people that just all seem to have that vision of doing something different. Even if it's one person that you're going to make a difference to, it's like you can make that change. And it felt completely bizarre at first. But I felt like I was in that community that truly believed that we all could make a difference. And this is going to, it's not just any network company. So that was when I started noticing that I was gaining conviction in the company, gaining conviction about the vision, about what we all wanted to do. So then that's when the change started happening. And yeah, and it took a while. But eventually got to a point where I was ready to say, this is my business. Yeah.
And then I am curious, you're from Singapore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think people don't really realize just how globally reaching Young Living is. Yeah. Can you talk to us about the Young Living community in Singapore?
Now, there is a slight difference, I feel, Singapore maybe compared to perhaps just even regionally around us, like the APAC region. I always look at Singapore as like a New York City. Like we're very cosmopolitan, except that because we're so multicultural, we have like Chinese, Malays, Indians, and that culture takes us back to very traditional medicine, which is all plant-based. So that's a nice part to it because when you talk to somebody about using plants for our health, it's not foreign. But also because we've grown so much as a tiny little city, but it's, like I said, it's like a New York City. People have also moved way ahead in terms of just the way they look at medicine and how traditional Chinese medicine, et cetera, may not take as much role in their lives. But I think we were lucky that we came into this whole interaction of bringing essential oils to families at a point in time where people are beginning to recognize that we need to find balance. So we had gone straight on medication, westernized and all of that. And then starting to realize that, hey, perhaps the culture that all of us have inherited, and it doesn't matter which tradition you come from, there's value in it, and everybody start looking at that. So there's like a very interesting tension because you're going to get like a mix of people who might resist and then some people who totally embrace it because it reminds them of their roots. Mm-hmm. So that's Singapore. And around the region, if I talk about APAC, it's it's even stronger. It's I think people are very community, very cultural, very open to the whole idea of just embracing something natural. So if you head on down to that region, you're going to find that people love the whole idea of embracing that and going back to their roots. Mm-hmm. And people are hungry for that, because we don't just want to, like I said, just be head on in terms of just treating our symptoms. Like, we really want to just take in that holistic health on all levels. So I've seen that trend in terms of the entire region. People are picking up really fast. People are hungry with the fact that this is something available to us and it's not difficult to understand. And I think the best part of it is that people feel like they're empowered. So I don't need someone to always tell me what's wrong with me. Like, in learning about the oils, I think one of the things that we get reconnected to is we start to observe what's going on for ourselves. And then we start to tell ourselves, here's what I think I could use, and just get a lot more connected back. So that's how I see it. I think it's the same in the States. But I think, yeah, it's nice to watch all that happen, because I think it's still a very cultural change for everyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think that in one of your blog posts, you were writing about how we treat symptoms sometimes more than we treat people.
Yeah.
And you talked about this a little bit already, but what is your advice to people who want to empower themselves and others about focusing on the person rather than symptoms or rather than the things that are wrong?
I think that we've become very focused on fixing problems and finding immediate solutions. And so part of that means that sometimes, like you mentioned, we just forget the person behind the problem, because we just want to kind of finish the business, right? And I'm going to actually just get a little bit vulnerable here in terms of talking about my own journey. Even recently, so I've actually been, the people in my country know that recently I've just been dealing with depression, anxiety myself. And it's something that in coming into that space, I personally begin to recognize and really feel what it could have felt like for my dad, for example. As someone looking from the outside, even as the daughter, I had always just wanted to fix the problem. And that was so solution focused. And but when I found myself in a place where I realized that there is a human being that needs to be heard, that we don't just, it doesn't even matter whether it's modern medicine or essential oils or anything, any other options, that we don't focus on just trying to find that one thing that's going to fix it all. Like, what about sitting down, listening to the person? What about just the connection? And I think that has become such an important value for myself, learning through that, like experientially going through something. And I've been talking about that a lot with my team as well. So like, sometimes we get so focused on, even when people come to us and they want to learn about the essential oils, and we almost become like we are dishing out solutions like, hey, use this. What about if we stop and we listen to someone? Because if you look at the whole young living business, quote unquote, okay, I think that at the heart of it, it's people. Like Gary has always said, it's about people. And if we can put aside just trying to fix that situation and just listening to someone, that's the first place that they're going to heal. They're going to find grace and love and compassion. And I think that's also the magic of Young Living, because I've seen people do that. It's not like we don't do it at all. And every time I witness that amongst my team, amongst people from cross organization, I see people being valued. And then at the end of the day, this is not a business. This is just human relationship. I was at the will call downstairs and I was talking to someone and she was asking me, is it true that we used to have really bad service that takes 3 hours to pick up your will call? And I was laughing and I said, yes. But out of that, the funny thing is our business, if you call it a business, it has just kept growing. Despite the fact that people had to wait 3 hours, 5 hours to collect their little bottles of oil, despite the fact that even at that point in time, when we were first starting out the office, emails may not come through, like replies don't come through until a week later, people were still asking for their oils. They were still going in for it. And then you have to ask yourself the question, what's the magic here? Why would people be so insane to want that? But the bottom line of it was that someone else who talked to them cared enough about them. That translated to the fact that, yes, maybe right now we have service or whatever that's not fantastic, but someone cared enough about me and I'm going to trust this person. And I think that's just the entire magic about who we are. And I've seen that happen over and over and over again. So...
And if you have a good thing, why wouldn't you share it with the people that you care about?
Yeah.
And thank you for getting a little vulnerable. I also have depression and anxiety, and I understand that, you know, even though sometimes we can't explain just why or how we're feeling, sometimes you just need the support rather than solutions. Because sometimes there aren't clear solutions to what we're feeling. Yeah. We just need somebody to hear us and to be with us as a person. So thank you for sharing that so much. I'm gonna reset a little bit. Now that you are part of Young Living as a distributor, as an entrepreneur, what are your priorities as far as your business life goes, your personal life goes? I know that with a lot of our distributors, the business and personal life go hand in hand because it's really a lifestyle, more so. But talk about finding a balance in your personal life and your work life.
Oh, and that's absolutely important. I think a lot of us stumble into the business because we love the product so much, right? And then we talk about it all the time. And like me, you suddenly realize, oh, you have a whole group of people listening to you. And because I think like 90% people may not have a business background, an entrepreneurial background, so you either get stumped and then you don't know what to do, or you just work extremely hard. Like you don't get off work because you're doing everything from home. You just wake up, you go to your handphone, you go to your computer, and your life revolves absolutely around answering questions, checking in on people. And especially because Young Living is filled with people who love other people. So we're constantly going out there going like, what can I do for you? How much more? What else? And that's when I think over the years, I've also learned that at some point, we need to define what my personal life is going to be about. So personal life, family life, like how do I draw boundaries around it? Like even for me at one point, I would be teaching classes on Sundays. And it was kind of upsetting myself. I could feel it. Like I was missing church and just thinking, but that's the day that's free for people. I should be doing this. And I struggle with that. But then really coming to terms at some point that if I don't value me, my time, number one, whoever is in my team is going to pick up the same habit, right? Number two, just even if they are not someone who is building the business, I am projecting that out about, like, I'm talking to them about self-care, but I'm not doing it for myself, right? So it's such a journey. It's like I've talked so much about it because I walked through that journey myself, learning how to define it. And I've watched many of my teammates learn struggling with that, time for family, time for themselves, learning that some days we need to say no because my time is important as well. And for some people, it's defining in certain specific hours, certain specific days that they are working the business, and not being afraid that if you say no, you're going to lose it all. So that whole abundant mindset as well, to be okay, if this person is going to be part of your team or if you want to attract the same kind, that do as your heart would honor you. And as that happens and you put aside the fear of losing out, you're going to find more. It's just, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like, I definitely watched that happen for myself and for many of the leaders that I've worked with, that the more we give to ourselves, the more flows from God or for some people, the universe, whatever that is for you, it comes through when you love yourself enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think I don't think there's a principle around it, but I think you just need to walk through it and begin to constantly ask yourself what is okay, what is important, and what do you stand for? And then keep defining it, keep searching, and keep kind of just refining that boundary because it's different for every single person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a lesson that we all have to constantly keep relearning, that the right types of people come into your life, the more you get to know yourself and the more that you take care of yourself and find the balance starting here rather than out there.
Yeah. And I think the beauty of it is if you look at the Young Living model, it is your business. So it's kind of different for somebody who might be working a company. So sometimes it's hard because your hours or whatever, it's kind of defined by the company. You got to come in at this hour, you got to do this. But when you look at the fact that if you're a distributor and you're building the business, you define exactly what is important to you and you execute it from there.
Yeah, I think it's kind of beautiful that there are these shared values that we have as members of Young Living. You know, we have the essential oils. We have everybody is really enthusiastic about integrating plant-based materials into our lives and being more holistically minded.
Yeah.
And you have those basic ideas, but then you have so many individuals putting their spin on it. It becomes really beautiful, and it celebrates all of our common
and all the differences.
Yeah. All our commonalities, all our differences. So I think there's a lot of room to grow here. This is kind of a fun question. What are your favorite products?
Oh.
Your favorite oils, your favorite products. I know it's hard.
It is hard. I don't like it when people ask me that because it's like, how do you choose? Now, the first thing that actually comes to my mind is Nitro. Like, it's been a lifesaver for me. Every time the energy that I need, it's got vitamin B's in it, which is really good for the brain. I love it. I'm taking it all the time. So that's like my current, in terms of supplement, favorite. Even more than Ningxia. Sorry, guys, but it's like the Nitro really, really is top right now. In terms of oils, funnily enough, it's different seasons. And right now, I'm really in love with Hong Kwai, which is an oil from Taiwan. It's a woody-based oil. And I think it's just this season of my life where I really enjoy something that has that scent of groundedness. Like when you smell it, there's something about it that's so sacred, very grounding. It keeps me still. So, and I, well, everything, I add peppermint to it. So if I had to choose through the season, it would be peppermint. So I add everything, like every seasonal favorite, I add peppermint. So Hong Kwai with peppermint then goes right up to top of the ranks, because that's like, it just, yeah, it just relaxes me and it gives me that sense of safety. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like I was saying, this whole season has been about finding that space of safety, that space of feeling just grounded and being okay to be who I am. So, and I've read quite a lot about just how it's a sacred wood and love it.
Yeah, I love it too. It always makes me feel so much fresh. Like I can start over whenever I can, you know? You're a health coach.
Yeah.
What tips or pieces of advice you'd give to somebody who wants to take that step to more holistic living, to more health-minded, wholeness living?
I think the first thing is also just making baby steps. Especially at the end of the year, it's kind of common that people set big goals. And then it's so huge that after the first week of January, you don't think you will ever want to do it anymore because it requires so much change. I always tell people, hey, just one thing. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you're eating a whole lot of other whatever food that you still love a lot, but just one change, because that makes it easy for your mind, for your entire being to actually comprehend it and to be able to do that. So we always work with people on finding a first win. Because if you can't find that first win, you just lose interest in everything else that you set aside. So that one's really important. So if you are like drafting 10 different goals right now, I would ask you to like really sit down and go like, which is one health goal? And if you were to even look at it, simplify it, what's like one step? I mean, if you really are like the go-getter type, 3, but keep it easy, I would still say 1. What's a simple thing that you would want to see change minimally? 3 months. Give yourself 3 months to seal that in. And then take it further, expand it a little bit as you move along, instead of going like, this is what's going to happen. And then you kind of drown yourself in all this big, ambitious goal. So that's one. The second one, let me think, in terms of really taking steps, is this could be an interesting one. It's putting in an emotional aspect to caring for yourself. So it's very easy for us to take care of the physical. And in the studies that I went through with IIN, one of the things that we kind of use as a term is primary food and secondary food. And you'll be really surprised that secondary food is actually the physical food that you eat. But the primary food is your emotional well-being. Because if that is not on your plate at all, you could be vegetarian, you could be vegan, you could be paleo, whatever, and you still be empty as a vessel. So I would have people consider, again, one small thing that they would do to honor themselves, whatever that looks like. It could be like what we talk about, defining a specific time for yourself, so that you're not always just busy with your family, but you give yourself a specific day, a specific time to be quiet with yourself, to honor how you feel, to find ways to allow releases of emotions, and to be okay that you're not okay all the time. So those are the two that comes up for me right now.
And I think that's really great advice for all of us as we start setting those. What does the future hold for you? What are you thinking about as we're going into the new year?
It's been a challenging year this year. But I've also received, like I said, a lot of love and compassion and just knowing that people are sitting there supporting and rooting for me. So I really am just looking forward to kind of just recreating things with my team. I don't know what exactly yet. So this is not like, whoa, I have the whole plan laid out. I know exactly what we're going to do, etc. But the big vision I see is just being back on the ground with my team. Like, I've missed that a lot. Just being with people. And because of what I have been blessed with, which is really... I think the passion, and I think along the way I've met really great mentors that have taught me how to work with people, that I really want to go back to doing that with my team and with just whoever is going to cross my path. I just have a feeling that 2019 is going to be a very different year where lives would really just collide in a way that we'll be creating amazing things. I don't know how, I don't know what, but we're just going to flow with that.
Tell us what Young Living Essential Oils means to you.
Young Living Essential Oils mean to me hope. That's the first word that comes into my mind. And I'm a very visual person that the first thing I see is still Gary. I've recently written a post that I say, there was a reason we stood by him in his living and a reason why we still stand by him in his passing. Because there is this thing with Gary that is always about hope. And it's not fluffy hope. It's not, we're hoping for the best, we're crossing our fingers, but it's a, this is going to happen and we're going to make things change. We're going to do things that you haven't seen before, you haven't experienced before, but it's going to happen. And so whenever I think about what Young Living is about, I see his face and then I hear this ringing sound that just sounds like hope. And it's a concrete confidence that God is taking us through. Yeah.
All right. Are there any moments in your journey with Young Living that really felt like this is what I was supposed to do? You can take some time, I know.
I know there are distributors or leaders that just knew from day one that this is supposed to be what they're supposed to do, and then they've just stuck it out. I'm completely opposite. I've gone through like, are you sure? No, yes, no, yes. And so it wasn't always straightforward for me. There's been many, many episodes. And I would actually go back to the episode that I just shared with you, which is recently just coming into that space of dealing with depression and anxiety. And in that whole period, one of the things that happened is I went down again into, maybe I'm not supposed to do this. And I had a lot of questions about that. And then the most magical thing, I think, that spoke into my life was just how the people in my team, people in Young Living office, people in cross organizations, surrounded me. I'm gonna cry, oh dear. And in particular, it's just my teammates. Whether or not there are people building the business that came around, rallied around, because they just appreciated that relationship that we had, which is something that I've always believed why I am doing this business. I've never seen it as just something that I'm here to teach people only about physical, mental, emotional health, that God gave me this opportunity to reach out to people, and whatever difference that's going to be, that I get an opportunity to be salt and light for someone else. And in the 10 to 11 years, I think there's so many relationships that I have treasured so much. Again, like I said, some are leaders that have built the business together. We've seen each other through tough times. Some are just users who've sat down to talk to me about whatever they're going through. And then it just goes off tangent into about their personal life. And we've just spent time talking. And I never kind of really saw it coming back until I was unwell. And then all of a sudden, I am experiencing a community that is holding me up and lifting me up. Like, and this is not about you are our upline or you are a leader. And it's none of that. It's you are a person that we love. And that sealed it for me. Like, all the months that I've been questioning and asking and praying if this is what I'm still supposed to do, it just hit me one day. Yes. Yeah, like, you will share with them about the boys, but above and beyond anything, you will just love another person. And in loving that person, hopefully that person feels enough to love another one and another one and another one. That is enough reason for me to do this. Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation today and that you gleaned some of the inspiration that I did just from meeting her. Thank you for listening, liking, and subscribing to Drop of Inspiration.